Chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 and 21 to 22. If you have a pew Bible, it's on page 1029. Luke chapter 3. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Good morning, and bless you. A happy new year to you. And what a year, what a year. But let's have a look at the scriptures. But before we do that, let's pray together. God our Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus, you are the same. We rejoice that you gave us the scriptures and you've said they are inspired. They are for our learning. They are for our being rebuked so that we may be corrected and that we may live lives that are worthy of you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as you've said, you are with us and you will never leave us or forsake us. And therefore we pray that as we read your word, as we reflect on these truths, may your spirit be released afresh upon us. Baptize us with your Holy Spirit, we pray. May we who have been baptized with water now experience again that baptism with fire and with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. It really goes fast, doesn't it? You've got Christmas, and suddenly you have Jesus being presented to the temple the following Sunday. The Sunday after that, you have the arrival of the Magi, and straight away you have the baptism of Jesus. He's an adult. And the reason being, well, these are the important milestones in Jesus' life. I hope last Sunday you enjoyed that revelation of Jesus to the Gentiles, as it were, because that's who the Magi were. They did not know God as Yahweh. All they knew was to study the stars. In fact, they only came to worship the King of the Jews. And yet God spoke to them. They had visions, they had dreams, and so on. And on that day, those who were far away from God had a revelation of who Jesus is. And today we come to another day of revelation. Now, until now, Jesus, we might say, has not heard God personally. He's grown up just like an ordinary person. He knows that God has called him. He knows he's got a mission. But he's not quite clear what that mission is going to be. And I wonder whether when you look at your lives, you can see a time when God was busy with you and actually you didn't even know him. I look back. And I see sometimes in my life when I thought, well, I did not know God at all, and yet he knew me. And he was at work with me, moving various things so that at one time I would have that encounter with him. And so we are introduced to John. He's not a Baptist, by the way. Because he hadn't been, you know, the Baptist church did not exist. So he's a baptizer. That is what marks him. He comes and he sits by a river and he started calling people names. and people flock to him. He reads people's mail, and people still come to him. He tells soldiers, "You brood of vipers," and they still say, "What can we do to make sure that this changes?" Wow. That is a prophet according to the old tradition. And people are wondering, who is he? Of course, you know, the air is charged. The whole atmosphere is charged with the fact that something big is about to happen. There's something incredible about to happen, and everybody can smell it in the air. The Messiah is on his way. So they are asking, is he the one? And he says, no, I am not. I'm only one who baptizes. There is another one who is coming. And he's big. Oh, he is so big. That actually, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. And as I was thinking about this, I thought of that verse in Isaiah, in Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Surely he does not reveal anything. He doesn't do anything without revealing his plan. And John forms part of that plan of God. He's not going to send his son and say, I hope they will understand him. He has sent a lot of various things to happen so that when he comes, people can recognize him. Well, of course, it's less than 5 weeks ago. No, it's less than 4 weeks ago when we talked about angels. You know, a whole host of angels singing in heaven. You know, shepherds coming to look for baby Jesus and so on. He's always revealing. He's always preparing. And this is the final preparation. But Jesus then comes and wants to be baptized. Oh, how about that? Is that interesting? And Jesus comes to be baptized. And of course, you can imagine what John is thinking. Hold on, no. If I see him, if I recognize him, I will be the first one to go to him and say, baptize me with fire. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit. And yet Jesus comes in humility. He comes to John and he says, hey, I want to be baptized. And John is not quite sure whether he wants to do that. After all, considering what he's just said about him, oof. Protocol would demand that he falls down at his feet and he says, well, I'm not worthy to untie your sandals. How can I do this? Not because Jesus needs that baptism. No, he doesn't. But he wants to identify with us. And I think that is very, very important. He came to be one with us. Remember that banner over there. Emmanuel, God with us. That is what he came. And if he's going to be God with us, he needs to identify with us in every way. And traditionally, it's always been added without sin. Because he was not sinful in any way. He came to identify with us. So his baptism marks us. Baptism marks us as belonging. Just as he himself said, well, I belong to the human race. We who are baptized actually say we belong to Jesus. We identify with him. He identified with us. We identify with him. And so, on to that scripture. When all the people are being baptized, Jesus also was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. Just a little pause there. Notice that he came to be baptized. Unlike Matthew, Luke doesn't tell us what else is going on. He just says, well, he was baptized. And then we hear that Jesus then prays. And as he is praying, heaven opens. And the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. And we may think that, well, you know, the Holy Spirit descended on him. How did he know that the Holy Spirit descended on him? There must have been other people who saw it, because it was a physical thing. And remember the day of Pentecost? There were tongues of fire that appeared on the believers. We don't need tongues of fire anymore. But I tell you what, every so often, God decides to do something that is physical. I'll never forget 1994, when the Toronto blessing, came about. And I tell you what, I remember a friend of mine, Terry. He was just an ordinary guy. He was my neighbor. And suddenly, he started putting his hand in his pocket. And when he came out, his hands were dripping with oil. And he started saying, I'm not quite sure what this is. But as he prayed, he realized that God was giving him anointing for others. And sometimes he has even been in this church. And, he would sit and he would look around, and every so often he would have this anointing and he would come and pray for somebody. Others, actually, I remember looking at somebody and he had gold dust on his hand. And he kept saying, I don't know where this is coming from and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. And there was somebody else there saying, what a waste. And others were saying, well, surely this can't be of God. Sometimes God does extraordinary things because he is God. He does extraordinary things, not so that you can understand, but so that you can say, wow, that is God. He's able to do far more than we can ever imagine or think. And then God speaks. First, he affirms his son. You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And remember, at this point, Jesus has done nothing apart from just coming and saying, baptize me. Everything is lying ahead of him. He's got the whole future planned out for him. And he knows, because I'm sure his mother has told him, when we took you for dedication in the temple, there was an elderly man there who told me, and a sword would pierce my heart. And son, I don't know what lies ahead for you, but I know it is not going to be easy. You are going to be the savior of the world, whatever that means. And I love the way that the three Gospels mention the same baptism but report from different angles. Listen to Matthew. Matthew doesn't just say Jesus heard. Actually, everybody around heard. And they didn't hear, "You are my son." They had, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." He was affirmed by the Father. And I tell you what, I think Jesus needed that, don't you? Do you think he needed that affirmation? Do you? Do you? Oh, some of you are not sure. You're thinking that's a trick question, isn't it? And if it's a trick question, I don't answer. I just remain poker faced until you give me the answer. It's not a trick question. It really does call us to respond to that. Did he need that encouragement? Did he need that affirmation? I really believe he did. And if he did, so do you. You really do. And I tell you, if you do not know that affirmation, you will live in fear. In fear that what you have heard somebody say is only true for them, not for you. You see, faith has to be personal. It always has been and always will be. It has to be personal. God doesn't merely say, "Oh, I love you all so much." He actually says, "Helen, you delight me. Anne, you are my delight. Malcolm, yes, bald-headed, you are my delight as well." Because he does. He is personal. He doesn't merely just say, "Oh, well, oh, you know, third row on the back, I love you. Hi, guys, I love you." No, he knows you personally, and he wants you to know that he loves you. And this love is unconditional. Now, I can see some of you thinking, "Hold on, no, Francis, you can't say unconditional, because if you say unconditional, it means that he gives me freedom to do anything I like. God loves me, I can do anything I like. He will never leave me or forsake me. Why can't I just do anything I like?" Of course you can. Of course you can. But actually, once heaven touches you, heaven remains in you. Therefore, you can never, ever go against God's will and still find yourself rejoicing. The joy just disappears. And it is not God who says, "I'm taking my joy from you." It is because you have just walked away from all that he has for you. If Jesus needed that affirmation, so do we. And doubt will arise in our Christian faith, in our Christian walk. But when we know that we are dearly loved, then we can, with the hymn writer, say, "Though darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. On every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His love will not fail. His love never fails. It never gives up. It won't run out on me." That is how you beat doubt. If you're not sure that God loves you, if you're not sure that he said, "I love you so much and you please me," in other words, you're not always looking for that stick to say, you know, I'm a miserable offender, but rather, actually, I'm dearly loved of God and he calls me to be his in every way. He's anointed me with his Spirit. When we know that, then holiness marks us as the people of God. Does the Lord make you sad? Does he make you really mad? Does he worry you and fill you with despair? Is he full of lies and greed? Does he hold what you need? Does he laugh at you and say he doesn't care? And what do you say?
No way.
Or does he make you jump for joy? Does he love each boy and girl, each elderly lady and man in our midst? Does he know how many hairs are on your head? I think he takes a while to count them every morning for me, because I lose them regularly. And I'm not alone in this, am I? Is he gentle? Is he wise? Is there goodness in his eyes? Do you trust him and everything he says?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. And you know why we trust him? Because he is. He is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love, always good to all, compassionate to all that he has made. Compassionate to all that he has made. And you are worth more than a sparrow. Did you know that? You are his dear daughter. So don't ever lose sight of that. And therefore his desire for you is that you may reach your full potential in Christ. You get this star beckoning every Sunday, don't you? And that line and underneath star beckoning always says what I believe we are called to be under God's direction, to equip everyone to reach their full potential in Christ. So this year, what is going to stop you from reaching your full potential in Christ? And please, as I look at you, I'd love to read your mail. Don't tell me, but Francis, I am retired. I'm waiting for God. No, you're not. You're going to be busy. You are busy. Some of you are called to pray, and some of you are called to do. Some of you are called to reach out to neighbors and friends with God's love. You do not need to be absolutely able-bodied and beautiful and handsome to serve God. He you still have a potential that he wants to fulfill, or that you need to fulfill in him. What is it this year? What is it that God is calling you to do and to be? That's a question I'm asking you. And by the way, that's a question I'm asking me as well. Because I tell you what, in 2 months' time, I shall be in a strange place. I won't know anybody. Yeah, I won't. I won't have a dog collar to kind of, you know, affirm me in the community. I won't be able to wear my dog collar and walk around and everybody say, oh, there is a vicar. Hello, vicar. No, I won't. I shall be ordinary. And he still has potential for me. I still have potential to fulfill. And so do you. What are you going to do about that? You are my dear son. With you, I am well pleased. You're my dear daughter. You're my lovely daughter. I'm so pleased with you that I give you the Holy Spirit without holding back. Because the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, wait for it. Are you ready? He lives in you. The same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and in me. And if that is the truth, you walk under an open heaven. The resources of heaven are open to you. Don't get limited by what other people are saying to you. Don't get limited by what you hear the enemy whisper in your ears. Listen to your Father. He loves you and he has a plan for you. Right, Ruth? Right, there you are. Ruth has said yes. We can all say amen.
Oh.